May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 554. Though we walk through this wilderness, God's promise is our stay. His goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. 554.
God's most holy word for tonight you can find in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 1 to 45. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he. And after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. As for the reading of God's most holy word, may he add his blessing and teach us to pray. O most gracious and merciful God of heaven and of earth, O Lord, thou who art the most high God, and truly we believe, Lord, the only God, almighty in power and glorious in wonders, and yet, O Lord, full of loving kindnesses, tender in thy mercies, faithful in all thy ways, forbearing to all our sinfulness, O Lord, we will bow down before thy presence this night, as we gather this evening hour with our friends, and call upon thy holy name, Lord, to have mercy on us, to shed abroad thy love within each of our souls, and bring us on that gospel path. Lord, thou art almighty in power, and none hath resisted thy will. Perform that wonder of salvation tonight then in our midst, that thy name may be glorified, that thou may be exalted on high in the hearts of chief sinners, and that our faces may be turned Zionward, that our faces may be turned, O Lord, heavenward, and that our feet may be planted upon the gospel path. Lord, we cry unto thee tonight, that we may be given that gift of faith which cometh from thy gracious hand, that we might be given face eye to behold yon lovely man, behold the wonders of the cross of our dear Savior, and the blood which richly flowed out of his pure body, that we might become partakers, Lord God, of that rich gift from heaven, and that we may know what it is to be truly saved and washed in the blood of Emmanuel. Lord, we beg thee thou might remember those in the state of unregeneracy, hardened in heart, and dead in sins and trespasses, and having no feeling. Lord, there is nothing too hard unto thee, and that thou in thy mercy might rend the rocks, break the hardest of hearts, send forth thy love to soften the soul, shed abroad thy wisdom in the enlightened understanding, and bless souls with that truth of the gospel, the convictions of sin, the sorrows of the mind, the being brought down, Lord God, by the mighty power of thy law. Oh, the arrow that might strike into the heart of thine enemies. Lord, remember thy people who have put on a profession of faith in thy holy name, those that look unto thee and call upon thy name in truth, those that have been brought into thy church and who profess that love unto thee. O Lord, that thou might feed them a crumb of mercy, that thou may look down from heaven upon them and shine with thy light and thy countenance upon them to heal them, and fill them with thy love, that they may be the least of the brethren and sisters, that there may be that unfeigned humility and that fervent Christian zeal, there may be that walking together in that Christian fellowship and the bond of peace and that precious unity of the Spirit. O Lord, do bless them richly with thy countenance, and grant that they might be a testimony to others, that they may shine forth with the precious truth of Christianity. And so, Lord, remember them together. O guide them and lead them day by day, and preserve that truth within them. And we pray, Lord, that there may be that rich extension of thy kingdom in their midst. O, that growing of thy kingdom, as multitudes may yet turn in. Lord, thou art almighty, there is nothing too hard unto thee. In this dark day that thou might come and shine, in this dark day, Lord, that thou might come with thy power and love, and so bless them. Lord, we pray for a blessing upon our cause, that thou, Lord, might remember us in thy tender mercy, and that thou might favor us with blessings of old. Thou, O Lord, art the same eternal now, the same eternal being. O great God, that thou might remember us, for our need is great, and that thou would send thy Spirit into the midst of thy servants who preach that word. And though we pray that thou might give them strength and set their foreheads as flint, that they fear no man, that they may go forth preaching boldly upon the walls of Zion, holding not their peace day nor night, but crying unto man the need of repentance and that precious truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, above all, that they might glorify thee, that they might exalt thy holy and excellent name. And O, give us more men too, whom thou wilt thrust out and make willing, whom thou wast anointed with thy Spirit and filled with the sacred truths of their Lord and Savior, that Zion may be edified and hearts may be broken down. Lord, we do pray for our beloved friends, our church at home, and to remember them too, for the need is great. O Lord, we do praise thee, for thou art that omnipresent God, thou who sees and knows all things. O Lord, remember us all together. We do pray, Lord, for those who are sick and those with great trials and troubles in life, those bowed down with burdens too heavy to carry, the aged and the sorrowing. O Lord, remember each one in their trials and troubles. Lord, grant unto them that they may cast their cares upon thee and believe that thou carest for them. And Lord, that the trials of life may be sanctified, and that the heart may be softened, and a cry may lift up unto thee in heaven, O thou gracious physician, thou whose name is wonderful, and counselor, the Prince of Peace and mighty God and everlasting Father, that thou, Lord, might appear, that thou might come and bind up the wounds and speak a word of comfort, and that souls may bless thee for the affliction and for the sorrows and distresses of life, that they might prove to the blessing of the soul. And Lord, we do pray for the leaders of this nation and the leaders of on our at home as well. How we do need, Lord, thy presence. For we come, Lord, to bow before thy holy presence and confess our sins. How we have backslidden from thy laws, from thy holy commandments. Oh, how evil and wretched, Lord, we have become as nations. And oh, how we do applaud wickedness and apostasy, and laws that do deny thee. The wickedness of mankind is great, and Lord, we need thy power. We need thy mercy, that thou might shine in the hearts of our leaders, stopping them in their madness. And grant us, Lord, a sense of repentance and a turning unto thee. O Lord, have mercy on us, we pray from heaven. O do have mercy on us, Lord, before thy just judgments are poured down from heaven upon us for our wickedness. Thou art just and holy in all thy ways. But as one of old did say, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, we would thank thee again tonight, and bring our thanksgiving offerings before thy presence, and bow before thee, O Lord God, for thou art worthy to be praised. Oh, we would lift up and high thy holy name, and praise thee, Lord, for thou art God. Thou art God alone, and thy will shall be performed on earth. Oh, we do thank thee for that precious theme of eternal covenant, an election that shall be called, a people that shall be drawn out of this world by thy power, and drawn unto Jesus' feet in repentance. Oh, we thank thee, O Father, that thou art almighty, that none can resist thee, none can overcome thy people. O thou who art love, hath given ample evidences of that love in reconciling a filed and filthy, a sunken world in sin and shame, a people that shall be reconciled unto thee, a people shall feel peace in their souls. O, we do thank thee, O Heavenly Father, for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and the wonders of salvation, him who took on our body of our flesh and bones, O him compassionate unto our sorrows and touched with the feeling of our infirmities, O him who brought in a perfect and holy righteousness and that glorious robe of the bride that she might be pure and holy and righteous before thee. All we do praise thee for the wonders of salvation in Jesus, and his willingness to go to the cross at Calvary, and to bear the sins of the elect upon himself, and to incur that wrath of thine which would consume us away. All we do praise thee, O Heavenly Father, for him who died and was buried, and broke the bands of death and hell, and rose up in that resurrection power and life, and breathed that life into dead souls, and healed the sick and the blind. And even now is ascended into heaven and sits at thy right hand, judging the quick and the dead, making intercession on behalf of the church, saving unto the uttermost all those that come unto thee. O great God, do we do praise thee for the wonders of thy blessed Spirit, that way in which the poor and the ignorant shall understand and the foolish shall walk upon that highway of holiness. Lord, we do bow before thee, for all of salvation is in thy hand, and nothing shall fail that thou hast spoken. And now, Lord, as we turn unto thy sacred and unto thy holy word, that thou, Lord, might remember us, for we confess our poverty and utter dependency upon thee for every word and every thought. O send thy Spirit into our midst, and touch every heart and break down the doors of every ear, and make room in our souls for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thou glorious and ever precious and faithful High Priest, O Lord Jesus, that thou would make up where we do fail in asking, and that thou would wash in all of our worship this evening in thy precious blood, that it might be acceptable before the dear Father. We do ask these things, all these things, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 614. The Lord the righteous tries, yet we'll adore his name. He never will their cause despise, nor put their hope to shame. 614.
Fiona needs the Lord's help again for this evening hour. We draw your prayerful attention to the chapter we've read together in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and the 28th verse. John 11, verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Beloved friends, we speak this evening hour as the Lord may enable us in the wondrous truths of the beloved Master, the great work of redemption, how the dear Lord Jesus Christ becomes that exceedingly dear and precious one to a poor lost soul. There is such a wonderful testimony again in this chapter of the sacred love of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, how they did love one another as they lived together in that house in Bethany, as they give ample evidence, beloved friends, of the testimony of true Christians and a true Christian spirit. And we find also recorded there that sacred and wondrous truth, and Jesus loved them. Oh, what a mercy when we may have a household, beloved friends, where the love of the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in our presence, under our roofs, and that we might give that ample evidence of our living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus has done for us, what Jesus means to us, and how it unfolds in the paths of our lives. This chapter gives the sacred truths of that resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the power of the one whose name is Emmanuel. It testifies of the power of the Lord to raise the dead from the grave. Not only, beloved friends, in a natural sense, as we see evidence here in that miracle of Lazarus being brought forth out of the grave, but also that resurrection life of the Lord bringing the dead in their sins and trespasses to live a spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Martha that doubting Martha in that sense who comes to the feet of Jesus, she comes yet in love. She comes in that doubting the power of her Savior, her Master, the one that she loves. As if Lazarus had died because Jesus had not come in time. And that Jesus' power did not extend even into the realms of death. And that Jesus' love would not be evidenced even in her great sorrow as she was weeping there over the loss of her dear brother. And that we see here the glory of God. That the glory of God would be evidenced in this sacred chapter. And that Christ himself would be glorified as he shows whom he really is to his loved ones. And then, beloved friends, when we speak of dear Mary, we find an element of doubt in her. But we feel, dear friends, the stirring up of a poor sinner who is in her own precious way. She is called by her Master. She is called by him, the Lord Jesus Christ, into his sacred presence to receive his instruction, to receive his love and his rich favor to her. And may, beloved friends, this is not a text we would say. This is for those who may come and initially, one who may be drawn out of darkness into light. This is not restricted in that sense, beloved friends. This text dropped with such sweetness in my mind when I was sitting waiting for the plane in Vancouver. And with sweetness it dropped in, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And every child of God, this is such an exceeding beautiful text, that the Master would come and that the Master would desire to have us in his presence, that the Master would encourage us with an inviting word to come into his holy presence and to hear his voice, to hear his words, and to hear his rich instruction. Oh, what a sweet word, beloved friends, if it may come in this evening hour in power. It may come in the past and it may come in the future in our lives. In that same truth as the Spirit reveals what the Lord Jesus Christ, as he comes and calls a people into his presence. Well, I couldn't help but think of that word in the Song of Solomon. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh. The joy, the exclamation of joy and delight in the writer, the hymn writer, or the and Solomon as he writes there, of the beauty and of the sweetness of the coming of the Savior. Behold, he cometh leaping over the mountains and skipping over the hills. And then we read in, I believe it's the 10th verse in Solomon 2, Song of Solomon 2, verse 10, I believe it says, and my beloved spake unto me and said unto me, rise up, my fair one, my love. Rise up and come away, for the winter is past and the rains are gone. And the voice of the bird is heard singing in the land. And you see, beloved friends, the wondrous truth of the child of God who has heard the voice of Jesus Christ, who has been touched in their souls by the voice of the Jesus Christ speaking, not necessarily audibly, for us, beloved friends, it is by faith that we hear the voice of Christ in power in our souls, as if we would hear audibly in our ears, so real, so true, and so precious is the coming of Christ and the speaking of Christ to our souls. I want to speak, firstly, friends, of the coming of the Master. The Master is come. And it may take it slightly out of context, because here we have the physical coming of Jesus Christ, the physical coming into the presence of Mary. But we want to speak, dear friends, how Jesus has come, and the profound wonders Jesus has wrought when he did come, and why the coming of Jesus Christ is so precious. And then as we draw it into the calling, he calls for you to find some sweetness in the Master's coming. I was thinking of the woman at the well of Sychar and John the Baptist too, both of them. And the woman at the well of Sychar, when she's discoursing with Jesus, she says, I know that Messiah cometh. And when Messiah, when he comes, he shall tell us all things. He shall declare unto us these truths. And the Israelites, even the Samaritans, were waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the long-awaited Messiah. And again, we think of John the Baptist, who sent that message via two of his disciples to Jesus and said, art thou he that should come? Waiting for him. And you see, even John, who knew that he was the coming Messiah, he preached of him, he testified of him, that he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And yet, dear friends, we find in that question of John, art thou he that should come? Again, the truth and the witness of man's poverty, of man's fickleness, that he is in a state of doubting. And then we have that wonderful answer of the Lord Jesus. Go and tell John that the blind receive their sight, and that the lame, they may walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. It is the declaration of the truths and realities of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus would come for sinners whose just due was hell. That people would come to feel that they were utterly blind and did not know the way to salvation. That Jesus would open up the way unto salvation for them and give sight unto them that they might see. The people who cry for instruction, oh, send out thy light and thy truth and let them lead me. That the Lord was that one. I'm the light of the world. He was come for this purpose. He was come to feed the poor with the rich crumbs of mercy from heaven. He was come, that one, to die. Die for his people. That the Lord would, the Almighty Lord God of heaven would send his beloved Son Jesus to come down to earth. Whom shall we send for us? As God looked down at the atrocious state of mankind, as they were wallowing in sin and sunk in sin, I will go, send me. And Jesus came, beloved friends, to the earth for that precious truth. He came to tell the people. As he began his ministry there, we read that recorded. Except you repent, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus was bringing that message similar to the message of John the Baptist. That we needed to repent of our sins. We needed to turn. Turn from the evilness of our sins and the evilness of our ways. And to seek that life in him. That we were, he says again, that he was the brazen serpent lifted up between heaven and earth. And he spoke with such a truth of this importance. And if I be lifted up between heaven and earth, I will draw all men to myself. You see, beloved friends, the Messiah, back at that time, when Martha said it, Jesus has come, the Master has come. We may look back with such a sacred truth and reality in this sacred word of God, and we may find there that Messiah has come, that Jesus has truly come and walked upon this earth that we live in. And Jesus Christ has performed the wonder of a substitute. That Jesus has declared that he has reconciled a people unto God. Jesus has come to bring in peace and to take away the wrath, the just wrath of his Father upon a peculiar people. The Master has come to perform these wonders. But the question, beloved friends, it goes much deeper than just the Messiah has come. The question, dear friends, is, has Messiah come for us? That's the question. We may say, beloved friends, that Jesus came to earth. We may call ourselves outward Christians in that respect. And we may read the scriptures and we may talk of Messiah. But has Messiah come for us? I think of that, again, the word of God says that Messiah came to the well of Sychar. If there's a needs be that Jesus would come through Samaria and he would stop there at the well of Sychar and he would sit down with his weary body waiting. He came, beloved friends, for that wretched and wicked woman. But has he come for us in our wretchedness and wickedness? And we read recorded in the word of God that Jesus came under the tree where that little man Zacchaeus stood and climbed up in his curiosity. And Jesus came to declare that sacred and wonderful word. This day is salvation come to thy house. But is salvation come in our house and in our soul? And we read, beloved friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ journeyed to Jericho. And both before he entered into Jericho and when he left Jericho, we have recorded that he gave sight to Bartimaeus and to other blind beggars. But has he come to give us sight? And has he come to open our eyes and take away the scales of our eyes and show us the sight of our own evilness and wretchedness? Has he, beloved friends, declared unto us that we are in a great danger? That our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful of all things. And that all our actions, and as far as humanity, our flesh is concerned, is all sin. Has he shown us that? Have we trembled, beloved friends, under the sight of a holy God and an inflexible law in its demands that demand perfection and holiness? And have we seen, dear friends, that we can't perform it and we cannot come up with a payment? That is righteousness acceptable before God. Has Jesus come, dear friends, into our lives? Is it, beloved friends, a desire, a longing, a pressing case in the soul, in our midst, in your hearts? And is it that wrestling, beloved friends, at the throne of grace and of mercy? O Lord, that thou should come into my heart, into my presence. And grant to my soul the blessings that we read in the Word of God. You see, dear friends, I've said at home continually, It's all wonderful and sacred when others are drawn to Christ. But what of our souls? What of my soul? Am I safe under the wings of the beloved Savior? Have I found a refuge for all the lies and deceit? Have I found a place of safety and defense for my enemies and the great adversary of my soul? Has Christ come in this respect, beloved friends, into your life, in mine, into your souls, in my soul? And can we come with that same sacred delight that John writes in here, and that Mary, oh, filled with a wonder, the Master is come and calleth for thee. I was thinking, you can just read in John 10. The Lord knoweth his sheep, and the sheep know his voice. They know his voice. They heard with reality, beloved friends, the voice of the beloved, calling, encouraging, drawing. They've heard his reproofs and reprimands. For the word, the written word, our dear friend said it when we're here too, and we remind of it here, the written word and the incarnate flesh are one. The word was made flesh. And in this beloved word, in this precious, sacred, holy writ, beloved friends, we have the truths and beauties of Christ made known to our souls. My sheep. The shepherd has sheep. But are we of his fold? And beloved friends, have we heard his voice? Has he called us? It's a personal relationship between a poor sinner and a wonderful Savior. It's a sacred relationship, beloved friends, of that poor dying sinner raised up into a hope of eternal life through the words and the works of the dear dying Savior and the resurrection power of Christ. It's not, dear friends, through much study that we will hear his voice. It's through the power of God and the purpose of God of bringing sinners into Jesus to know his voice and to be obedient to his voice. I want to speak something of Mary then. In this chapter, what I believe I see in Mary, what is a sweet encouragement unto us. Even as I said, not just when we are initially called out of the world, or we may be invited in some sense by the power of the word to come to make an initial confession. How wondrous that is. How sweet it is when we hear that the Lord has drawn a soul to come out of the world and make a profession of that wondrous work of salvation, of the gospel being made known to them. How the Lord sweetly inclines through his love and his graciousness and mercies of a soul to come and testify to others what Jesus has done in their hearts and what Jesus means to them. But equally so, we may safely say with, I believe, every child of God in our midst, that the further that we are brought along the gospel way, the further that we go into the wilderness in that lonely pathway, and we face trial after trial and trouble and affliction and sorrow and distress, as we encounter all these things, beloved friends, there is no more dreadful place, no more frightening place, and more lonely place than the absence of Jesus. I think of that word in John, I think it's John 15. It's speaking of the engrafting of the soul into Jesus. Without me, you can do nothing. And how solemn is a scene, how dreadful is a path when we learn that truth. And we come, in that sense, with those pleas to heaven, Lord, when wilt thou come? When wilt thou appear? How long, O Lord, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? To have in the spiritual experience of the soul this dreadful loneliness, the absence of him whom we have loved, whom we've tasted his love, whom we've heard his voice, who's inclined us to follow him, to become obedient unto him. And then, friends, not through the negligence of the Master, but through the wretchedness of our own hearts, that we have wandered from the Savior, that we have backslidden, that we have grown carnal and cold, that we've become indifferent or prayerless, and then to see that we need Jesus to come again.
Oh, that Jesus might speak to me. There may be one, beloved friends, who mourns, who stands in that place of great distress, having waited so long for the return of the beloved Master. It may be a comfort unto a child of God who may be in peculiar distresses and circumstances in which none but Jesus can heal the soul. Then these words are so sacred. Then there is nothing sweeter, beloved friends, than this word to drop into our spirit. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Firstly, I would think of Mary and Mary's grief. Mary was one who was filled with grief. In her particular case, her personal case, she had lost her beloved brother, who had now died. Oh, the Lord Jesus, they had sent that message to the Lord that he might come, that he might appear. Oh, they knew that the Lord was filled with power, that he was the Son of God. We hear that in the testimony of Martha. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, they believed in his power, that Jesus could have healed Lazarus. But you see, also, there was that doubting, there was that, again, that frailty of mankind that Jesus could even bring from the dead. But Mary's spirit, beloved friends, was a sorrowing spirit. And we too must come to that place of sorrowing, of spiritual sorrow, of being laid so low in the dust. Like Mary. And it may be, beloved friends, it may be even that conviction of our sins that will bring sorrow. Oh, that the Lord will lay upon us the sight of our sins, the monstrosity of our wickedness in the sins that we have committed against our God. Oh, that the Spirit would send, dear friends, the realities of what the law really means. How often, I remember as a young child when the congregation that we used to attend, it was the tradition of to always read the Lord, the Ten Commandments before service. How ignorant we are to the damning power of that law, to the strictness of that law, to the curse of that law. Dear friends, do we know? Have we felt the power of the Ten Commandments? Have we felt the exceeding broadfulness? In Psalm 119 it says, how exceeding broad are thy commandments, O Lord. Have we, dear friends, been brought to spiritual sorrow over the offense of that law? Has our hearts been touched as the commandments of God are the commandments of love? To love the Lord God above all, and to have no idols before him, to worship nothing save him. And have we come, dear friends, to a place where we said how many idols we have before us? No, I'm not speaking now as if we had some wooden image in our closet that we bow down to. I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking tonight, dear friends, of the God self. That's an idol, you know. And we serve him, and willingly, and with delight. We do. And in the world, friends, how many are consumed in the joys and pleasures of this world and in our businesses? It's an idol. And it's setting something else within higher eminence and higher importance than God. And God is deeply offended by these actions. And has it caused you grief? And have the tears flowed, dear friends, in deep sorrow, a spirit of repentance over that? Has it made us, beloved friends, begin to think of eternity and of the judgments of God? Where shall I spend my eternity? How can I approach? I love that hymn from Barrage. I love all Barrage's hymns. He's so honest. He is so in his hymns how he sets forth what we really are. How can I approach unto thee, O God, who holy art, and who canst not see sin but with a loathing heart? Can we come in there, friends? Trembling before God because he's holy. And he's given us a commandment for our good and for our guidance. And we've never, ever thought how we transgressed it. And how we do not worship him. Never set him in the first of our thoughts, in the first of our life, in the foremost in our religion. sorrow, friends, deep grief. How many there are that sorrow in different ways. The sickness. We have at home too those that are touched with the with sickness and weakness of body. It brings so much sorrow. So many tears. And it will bring in the enlightened one that cry unto Jesus that he will come. The healing one. The sacred counselor. The comforter in sorrows and distresses. And the healer and binder up of wounds. Oh, to have true tears in that sense, friends, in infirmity, in weakness, in backslidings. To weep, I'm not talking, friends, there's a people that you can start talking religion and they can cry tears unbelievable as if there's a tap. I'm not talking that. We read in the Word of God of Esau, where Esau, it says there in Hebrews 12, I believe it is, in the witnesses of faith, or not in the witness of, it's Hebrews 11. It says that Esau found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Tears are no sign of real religion. Spiritual sorrow, godly sorrow, that worketh of repentance, not to be repented of. That's what I'm speaking, friends. The grief of a broken and a contrite heart, and a weeping soul on account of its distresses and needs, of the Lord Jesus Christ. A drawing, beloved friends, to Emmanuel's feet and a cry, Lord, appear for me. Mary was such a one. She wept. She wept in great sorrow. But beloved friends, we find in the life of Mary also a sweetness there, that Mary had a desire for Jesus. She did. How many of us, beloved friends, can come in with Mary, who sat at the Master's feet and fed from every word out of his mouth? Mary hath chosen that one good thing, and from her it shall not be taken. That coming of Christ, the witness of Christ, the knowledge of the importance of Christ, out of his mouth came grace and truth. Mary, beloved friends, had her heart set on the Lord. She did. We read that in Matthew 26, where she anointed his head with that ointment, that precious box of alabaster box of ointment. Very costly. I was reading something last night in the daily devotions, and the question was asked this. If Jesus was taken captive as a prisoner, what would you give for Jesus' freedom? What value? This is barely in a way to understand it, humanly speaking. But what would you give for the freedom of Jesus? Would you give your all? Is the value of Christ exceed the value of this world in its riches? That's the question. It's a good question, and it's one that we must be able to answer. But I'll tell you this, friends. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our soul, when the Lord calls us, then, dear friends, we will know something of why it is we value him. When we speak of all the, when I was speaking of repentance, who gives repentance? Who can give true repentance? Are me? Do I have some capacity in myself to repent of my sins or to repent of my evil or wretchedness? No. Not an ounce of it. Every good gift and every blessed gift cometh down from the Father of lights, and is and the avenue by which it enters into my soul is Jesus Christ. Through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. How shall I receive the peace of my soul? And how shall I receive a knowledge of whiteness and purity? Jesus Christ, the dying Savior. The cross, the blood of the cross, shed at the cross of that one man, Jesus Christ. And how can I ever know it, friends? But by the application of Christ speaking to at peace in my soul, by his Spirit. I can never understand it. I can never receive the blessings of it. I can never be comforted by it or melted down by it. Except that Jesus speaks the reality and power of it to me. And those who have known the voice of Jesus Christ are so exceedingly blessed, like Mary. They run with haste. Hastily we read that Mary got up. And hastily she ran, we would say. We can see her running. My master has called me. Jesus has encouraged and spoken unto my soul in its deepest distress. When that word, beloved friends, dropped down into my soul, it would say, all the wonders, the remembrancing, the Ebenezers of Jesus' visits. Sweet, then honey in the honeycomb. Oh, tender and melting are the visits of Christ and his love, or the awareness of sin forgivingness. And again we go back, beloved friends, to whom it is like Mary that we are bowed down with grief and sorrow. How can we rejoice, beloved friends, in the dying Savior? And how can we bless God for the gift of his Son and the blood of Jesus Christ, which is pure and holy without taint? You know how? When we felt the opposite. When we have felt that we are due to be damned and cast to hell forever. When we feel that we are nothing but fickleness and sinfulness and emptiness. And yet God is so gracious and merciful. And then, beloved friends, when we feel the dreadful deceitfulness of the heart and the blackness of our heart, that there is something that can clean it, that can cleanse it wholly and make me righteous. And bless God for it. And sing with the hymn writer, I'm blessed, my rags are gone, I'm dressed in garments white as snow. Where is my sin gone? Where is my guilt? It's gone, I'm freed like a bird. I'm filled with happiness and song, the songs of spiritual light. My Jesus has called me. You see, friends, it is a calling me. It's not calling a collective group. It's not calling my family, it's calling me. And so likewise, you too need to be spoken to personally. The Master has come and calleth for thee. And the power and reality that enters the soul. And the soul is lifted up in joy and delight. And do they then sit? Do they then wait? Oh, she was patient. We see a sacredness here, my friend. We see the exuberance of Martha. Whom the Lord's mercy is also showing to. But there may be in our midst a trembling one. A timid one. A one that waits for the bidding of Jesus. And we would say to such a one, well done. I would never praise a person in that sense. But that's wisdom. To wait for the Lord. Psalm 27. Very much in line with our sermon tonight. Psalm 27, I believe it's the fourth verse. It says, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord to behold his beauty and to inquire after him in his holy temple. One thing have I desired, that I might view my Savior, that I might dwell in his presence. But the end of that chapter, beloved friend, says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. You see? That there is like Mary, that patient waiting, the best time is when Jesus calls us. The Master has come and calleth for thee. That hymn 144, so much in line with it. I sinned and strove against his power, the power of sin. But the more he strove against his power, the more he sunk down in the greatest of sorrow because he could not do what was demanded of him. And then we read, Till I heard the Savior say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Lo, glad I come, and thou, blessed Lamb, shall take me to thee as I am. Nothing but sin I to thee give, nothing but love shall I receive. You see, beloved friends, it's not in us. We need the grace and mercy of God to speak unto us and say, poor sinner, come to me. Like that sacred invitation of Matthew 11:28, that, beloved friends, is not for anyone. That's for the poor, the heavy laden, the sorrowing, sin-distressed soul. And unto such a one, Jesus says, come unto me and I will give thee rest. I will give thee peace for thy soul and comfort and joy in thy heart. There is the gospel, beloved friends. And there is Jesus speaking. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Oh, do we love him, beloved friends? Do we need him and desire that Jesus alone can heal me of my sins? Is that our religion, friends? Are we in such lonely place, such a sorrowing place even now for the absence of Jesus? Or do you have to sadly say that we can live without him? Do our businesses without him? Make our decisions without him? And live our life without his voice? My sheep know my voice. This is no fancy. This is no mere notion. This is no fable. This is real religion. And dear friends, for you and I, and for it to be well with us in the never-ending eternity, we have to hear his voice. It has to be known within us with power and reality. And it has to preserve us and maintain us every day of our life. And if we can live our life in contentment without him and without his instruction, we're deceived. We are. I have to say that. If we can be content without the blessed Savior and his voice, how poor we are. It will show me the joy, I believe, the joy and delight of the never-ending eternity, to be in the presence of Jesus, to cast our crowns before him, and to give him all the honor and all the glory. That's what this chapter says, that the glory of God may be glorified and that Jesus Christ might be glorified therein, that he is the resurrection and the life. He is the life from the dead. He breathes life into his soul. I was thinking of another word. In Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ, and I live. But he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But then he says this, but the life that I now live, I live through him that dwelleth in me, who loved me and gave himself a ransom for me. Testify, beloved friends, that the life, how shall I know that I can live a life that is consistent with God? Because of the power and presence of Jesus within me, that he breathes that life within me. I'm nothing. I feel it in my heart, friends. And I hope that you in some sense feel it too. That I'm nothing but deadness. That all the commandments of God that ever I should fulfill, and every Christian conduct of mine that I am able to fulfill is through him that speaks to me and him that indicts his truth within me. The life that I now live, I live through him that loved me and gave himself for me. The wonderful sacred counsel and wisdom that he sheds abroad in my heart. As much as we are reading this morning is also in the Proverbs chapter 8 in wisdom. That Jesus Christ is the wisdom of his people. And he teaches them that. He speaks unto them and shows them how to live. Has he directed you, friends, in the decisions of your life? Has he opened up the doors in which you are to walk? This is the way, walk in it. As he instructs his people how they ought to live and the decisions they make in their businesses and at home. I know in whom I have believed, the Apostle Paul says, because the Lord spake unto him, because the Lord declared the truth of his word to him. He was no stranger. Are we? Does it ever, beloved friends, bring us into deep trial in life as we begin to question whether or not we are prepared for eternity? That the preaching of the word, beloved friends, and that harsh reality of whether or not we possess the presence of Jesus and know the voice of Jesus. Either it gives us an element of peace, an element of comfort that we say, I know that voice. I know that person. I know the presence and power of him. Oh, I have felt his loving voice. I've heard it. He has encouraged my soul. He's opened up his arms and welcomed me in. And he has proved the most precious guest I have ever entertained. Can we say that, friends? None but Jesus. None but Jesus. Oh, that he might come even tonight and visit my soul once again. The fountain of living waters opened up for sin and uncleanness. And you know what I have to learn, friends? Almost every week, sadly enough. How I need that fountain over and over again. I'm glad that the Lord did not give us a window in our foreheads to see my thoughts. And in some measure, I would say I'm glad that many of you don't know the things that I'm guilty of. Oh, what a shame I am from time to time. And what trembling it brings in my heart, beloved friends. The realities of my weakness, my perverseness, my rebelliousness, my anger. How dreadful we are when we brought into these states. And we know there's none but the sacred presence of Jesus. First, that he might heal. Oh, that he might forgive and restore. And that he might sustain and preserve such a rebel that I am. To hear his voice. And to be melted in those times when we may say, Jesus has come. Not just with Mary, but with every child of God. My Jesus has appeared. Oh, wonder of wonders. That matchless mercy and loving kindness of the God-man Christ, of my husband, my lover, my friend, my all and in all. The Master is come and calleth for thee. May the Lord grant unto us, dear friends, that we might know the realities of Christ's visit to earth, and as he calls unto us and speaks unto our hearts and gives us comfort in the paths of life. It is then we shall praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is then we will know something where we began in the Song of Solomon of what, why Jesus, why his visits to the troubled soul are so comforting. And why it is that the child of God will need daily that this same Jesus might call again and again and again. And the longer we go on that path, beloved friends, the more we will covet the closeness of the Savior and that we will experience something of the dearness of the Savior. What is thy beloved more than another, beloved friends? What is thy beloved? Thy chief delight, your chief delight, more than another. And you go to Song of Solomon again, you find what the beloved was. And she, beloved friends, was not ashamed. Like the Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Not ashamed. That young Joseph Gregg, I believe it was, in one of the hymns, oh, ashamed of Jesus, and I can't say the proper words, but let evening blush to own a star. If I'm going to be ashamed of anything, let me be ashamed. Oh, that the Lord, that he is so gracious, that he is so precious and so wonderful, and I don't even love him enough. Let that be my shame. That the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved friends, might become the altogether lovely one. And not here. Not here. We always say the old ministers say, well, then you've got a religion a foot too high. You need it here. That he dwells in the soul. That he enlightens your understanding and is the comfort and joy of my heart. And I'm not ashamed to speak of him. He has visited the soul not near enough. I long for his visits that he might come again. I long for the melting of my heart again, the softening of my spirit, and the shining in of his precious love, the Savior of love. Do you know him? Do we know him, friends? in his precious visits, that we might come and say, he has called for me, and I've come. I've come in sweet, simple obedience. My heart has been prepared to need him, to covet him, to love him, to embrace him, to bid him a welcome guest in my soul. Is Jesus, beloved friends, such a one to us? Amen.
God willing, our friend Mr. Decker is again expected to preach next Lord's Day and Tuesday evening of next week, and there will also be a prayer meeting on Monday evening. Let us close with hymn 1099. Jesus, omnipotent to save, exalted Prince of Grace, light, life and love thou dost bestow on men of vilest race. 1099.
now, dear Lord, that thou may be pleased to forgive all that thou hast seen amiss in this evening, and that thou, Lord, might remember each of us in thy tender mercy, and bless that word to our never-dying souls. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.